The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's a report today which suggests that as many as 2 in 5 tenants in those rent pressure zones still face rates of increase on their rent of above 4% despite the 4% cap. Karen Gallagher is joining us as she's head of research for the Residential Tenancies Board. Can you explain how that could be the case, how you could be in a rent pressure zone and still face a rent increase of more than 4%?
Okay, we've published 2 reports today and we commissioned this research really to gain a better insight on the impact of rent pressure zones on both landlords and tenants and the rental trends. And traditionally, I think in terms of the RTB, people, you know, would think towards our dispute resolution service or register in a tenancy, but the increasing focus we have is on research and data to bring the facts out into the open and the impact of these measures. The 2 research reports that we have published today are quite different. One, as you say, is a technical report. It's an ESRI report which quantifies the impacts of rent pressure zones. And then the second one is a more qualitative study by COIN Research, which looks at people's understanding and experiences of rent pressure zones. So I suppose there's 2 different kind of outcomes of those research. In terms of the ESRI piece, we have seen that the RPZs have had a moderating effect on rental inflation, and that's from between 2.5% to 3% a year. But there is still some kind of variation in that.
Explain what you mean by moderating effect. Does that mean that rather than 4% being the maximum, that you only have 2.5% to 3% increases within those rent pressure zones?
No, so I suppose the RPZ has kind of measure has had that moderating effect. The ESRI looked at before and after the rent pressure zone measures were put in place, and what they found was that the measures have had that moderating effect. What we have seen, though,
so what does that mean? That if you hadn't those measures in place, the rents would have increased by 7%. Is it
rents? I suppose we would be in a much worse position without that. The RTB also last week published our quarterly rent index, and what that showed was that there was continued affordability issues in the sector, with rental price inflation increasing by 8.3% on an annual basis. And I suppose coming back to this research, which the ESRI completed, I think what we would say was that without the rent pressure zone measures, there would be a kind of double-digit kind of rental inflation issue there.
Okay, but Karen, the question I asked you was, in rent pressure zones, which we have taken to understand would limit increases to 4%, how could it be that 2 in 5 tenants in those rent pressure zones have faced increases above the 4% cap?
So what we believe is that there are a number of issues in that area. So there are some landlords and tenants, actually, that aren't unaware of the rent restrictions. And what the COIN research showed us very clearly was that 48% of tenants living in rent pressure zone areas weren't aware that the rent restrictions were in place. And similarly, there's a lack of understanding from landlords about their responsibilities in terms of the rent pressure zone rent restrictions. And I suppose that's a piece for us as the RTB to take on in terms of improving that understanding. We do believe as well that there are some issues with non-compliance, because in the rent pressure zones, not only is the rent restricted to a 4% increase per annum, but there are only 2 instances where there are exemptions to that, and that is if the property is new to the market or hasn't been let in the last 2 years, or if there's been a substantial change to the nature of that property. So we do believe...
Sorry, the substantial change to the nature of the property means if, say, there's a major renovation of it.
Yes.
And you keep hearing stories of people being told, we have to take the house or the apartment back because there's a major job been done in it. And people are very sceptical as to whether that actually happens or not. Now, if there is a situation whereby the landlord is not telling the truth about the circumstances, what is the punishment?
So this this piece of legislation that has recently been passed gives the RTB stronger powers in this area. For that for that and other reasons. So if there is a landlord that has issued a notice, a false or misleading notice to a tenant, the RTB now have the power to investigate and sanction in a breach of that legislation.
What sort of sanction?
So it ranges, it's from a warning right up to a €15,000 fine. So,
and how many fines have been issued?
Well, the RTB only received the power, the legislative change was only brought in as of the 1st of July. So this is just a new power that the RTB had, because previously it was really up to the tenant to bring a dispute to the RTB through our dispute resolution service. But the change in the law does mean that we can directly and proactively investigate these breaches of the law.
So, your enforcement has only been brought into being effectively a year or so after the rent pressure zones were put in place, and after as many as four in 10 tenants discovered that they'd effectively been overcharged.
Well, the RTB have always had the power in relation to the dispute resolution service to hear a case where a tenant believes that they are being charged an inappropriate rent. So that power has always been there, and we have independent quasi-judicial function through our dispute resolution service in that respect. So that power has always been there. But the weakness there, and in the market that we have at the moment, was that we relied on tenants to come to us, and where there were maybe someone was afraid to come towards us, or felt that there was a risk to their property, or that they might not get another property if they moved out. That was, I suppose, the weakness in that piece. These new powers that have come in do give the RTB that ability to proactively investigate that, whether that's on foot of a complaint to us or for the RTB to take that action directly.
Thank you very much, Karen Gallagher, the Residential Tenancies Board. Joe Doyle, you're a landlord, you're a spokesman for the Residential and Landlord Association of Ireland. How can your members justify increases of more than 4% in rent pressure zones?
Well, obviously, Matt, I can't comment on every single thing that the lady has said there, because I don't have the information on my members charging that, or the members of my organisation charging that. I do want to just raise a point there, Matt. It's an interesting conversation for myself as a landlord, just listening to yourself and the
Karen Gallagher,
there.
Yes.
Karen Gallagher, sorry, thank you for having me there. And that, landlords do not need to get into the market. They do it willingly. And it seems to me that they're getting into a market here that's getting more and more regulated, and they're just going to be getting beaten with a stick for more and more and more regulations.
Sorry, they do need to get into the market, because otherwise you don't get any value from holding a property unless you actually rent it. So there is a need for a landlord to get into the market.
By definition of him getting into the market, he becomes a landlord. He did not need to get into the market in the first instance. These are guys that are, a typical landlord is a guy that owns one or two properties, and he's trying to get going for a pension or some kind of nest egg for himself in the future. And I believe that there's a tougher rental market on the horizon for both landlords and tenants, because all this regulation and legislation coming in, making it tighter and tighter all the time. We've now a situation where rents can't be increased. Okay, so rents can't be increased by the 4% or whatever else.
Yeah, that's an increase which is ahead of the rate of inflation, yeah.
So what's going to happen when interest rates increase and different costs come in to increase, to squeeze the landlord even further? Landlords are exiting the market all the time, and there's no incentive, there's no reason for them to get back in. They're getting into a more and more regulated market, so they should be looking somewhere else now to provide for their pension or their nest egg or whatever it is.
But Joe,
that's going forward, because
Joe,
we don't know what's around the corner.
There's another party to the market you seem to be forgetting about, which is the tenant. And given that we need places for people to live, there have to be protections put in place for people who are already paying in rent, in many cases, much more than they would be paying on a mortgage on a property to buy if they could get one.
Of course, but it's not that the onus does not rest on the individual landlord, the individual who decides to become a landlord and rent to provide properties to people who want to rent. It's not his responsibility to do that. It's
and we're not suggesting that. What we are suggesting is that there have to be, in a properly functioning market, there has to be regulation to the protection of both sides of a transaction, the landlord and the tenant. That is the nature of properly regulated fair markets.
Well, I'm not saying anything to regulate things in fairness towards the landlord. When, like, there's basically there's there's apartheid in the market there now for properties that right next door to each other, one can operate at a certain level of rent and another property can't. And these properties just have to be sold. They're taken out of the rental stock because the landlords can't get a return on their money. Many, many landlords are negative equity. They're accidental landlords. As soon as they get the opportunity to exit the market, they will continue to do so.
Did you use the word apartheid there?
Yes, most definitely. There's apartheid.
Do you understand what the word apartheid means?
Most definitely. Rental apartheid with the landlords of the properties that they own. They're separating them there. They're treating them two separate terms for the way that the legislation was brought in. There was good landlords there that were most definitely undercharging on the properties they had for many, many years because they had good tenants during the bad times. These guys now are penalised. They can't increase their rent. They can't bring it to the rental levels. They're stuck at where they're at. And now we've got a property that's right next door that's charged at the normal rate with the 4%. That's the problem there. They've created a separate divide where one section of the market is treated completely unfair.
I'll put it out to listeners to see what they think, whether their sympathy will be with the poor landlords who can't put up their charges per month, given the fact that rents are at the highest level they've ever been in the country. Maybe it's just for some landlords and not for others. You've just been listening to Joe Doyle from the Residential Landlord Association of Ireland.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.